कृतं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
सो ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ श्री राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज गेस्ट्स विजिटर्स फर्स्ट टाइमर्स All of you who have come here for the Sunday feast program for the very first time. It is a desire of some senior devotees that I sit here. So as a matter of duty to serve them, we are attempting to speak something for the inspiration of all the devotees here. So today we are at a unique situation in time. In the land of Dharma, India, there is so much proliferation, there is almost like a rain of people who claim that they can offer you some help. So traditionally, the Indian word for such people is a guru. But guru means a real guru. So that's why we hesitated to use the word guru for such people. Because a guru does not cheat. And most of these people, as time is revealing, they have some shady part to their character. So that's why we hesitated to use the word guru. So we'll call them people who are eager to help us. So some of them, they wanted to help us, they offered their help to us. Some people in India, out of their tender faith, they put their trust in them. They have abused their faith. Some people are claiming that we'll not abuse you, but we'll empower you to change India. Yes, so they are saying, we'll give you the power to change India. So many people, some people talk of silence, some people talk of sound, some people talk of wearing certain clothes. Everyone is offering his help. So from one perspective, it's a good thing. so many opportunities for receiving help. But from another perspective, this shows the cruel times that we are living in, that so many people need help. It means there is something wrong with society. When we see a city where there are just so many hospitals. So one perspective is very nice. In this city, if somebody falls ill, there are so many opportunities for him to receive some medical help. But another perspective is, it means in this city, the lifestyle that people are living, the health habits that they have, it is something seriously wrong, and that's why there is a need for so many hospitals. Life is fast today. You have Duronto trains, expressways, non-stop flights. Yes. So it takes time to convince the modern man to slow down and appreciate basic human qualities. So we saw a board somewhere. So it was saying, wanted, an electrician to restore the current between people who do not speak to each other anymore. Wanted, an optician to change the outlook of people. Wanted, an artist to draw a smile on everyone's face. Wanted, a construction worker to build peace. Wanted, a gardener to cultivate good thoughts in people. And wanted, a mathematics teacher to teach all of us again to count on each other. So in these times, it's very difficult to speak anything positive. So today we'll discuss a little bit on the concept of compassion. That what exactly is compassion? What are the different aspects of compassion? We have a very superficial treatment today here, because compassion by itself is such a deep topic. We do not claim that this is an exhaustive coverage of the subject, but we have a few points to present to this assembly here who have gathered here for the Sunday feast. So before we begin, what is compassion? The genuine need that arises in somebody's heart out of deep and selfless concern for the upliftment of others. Somebody who is always thinking about others, that quality, that emotion can be called as compassion. In selfish times that we are living today, very difficult to develop this quality of compassion. Kali Yuga is described as the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It means majority of the people today, they are engaged in these two activities. So if somebody is engaged in quarreling with somebody else, and you give him some help, you show him some compassion, very difficult for him to accept it. The Kauravas and the Pandavas, almost eternally, they were fighting. And there was help available in the form of Bhishma's advice. There was help available in the form of Vidur's advice. What to speak of the help that was available in the form of Krishna's advice. So whichever level of help you wanted, help was available. From the topmost help from Krishna to little below that from Vidur, and on the mundane level, help from Bhishma, Raj Dharma, and all those Niti Dharma that he taught Yudhishthira later. But what did happen? They could not appreciate that help. The fighting just went on and on, because there is so much envy in the heart for the other person. So Duryodhan and the Kauravas, they have so much quarreling tendency with their brothers that although so much help is available, so much compassion is available, it does not affect them. The second quality that is prominent in the Kali Yuga is hypocrisy. So we'll take the example of Hiranyakashipu, that when Hiranyaksha was killed and Hiranyaksha's body is lying there, so Hiranyaksha's wife and his mother, Diti, they are crying. They are in deep lamentation. Hiranyakashipu gives almost a good, nice lecture on how the body is not worthy of being lamented upon. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. He speaks about how life is temporary, so this is bound to happen and like that. And if one does not go to the future chapters, one will think that probably he is also one of the acharyas mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The words are almost as good as that of an acharya. But later, the same person who talks about the temporariness and who talks temporariness of this material nature and how the body, we should not develop attachment for the body, he takes upon himself the grand task of becoming immortal just to avenge his brother's death. So what happened to this long lecture that you gave just now? And because he is hypocritical, even though somebody as close to him as his lovable son, Prahlad, he instructs him. Matirna Krishna Parato Svatova. So he's speaking directly. Vanam Gato Yadharim Ashrayat. So here help is available. His own son is telling him what is the goal of life. But because he's hypocritical, he does not believe in what he speaks. So he cannot take advantage of that compassion. Similarly, those of us who are sitting here and those of us who are caught up in this web of quarrel and hypocrisy, even though we'll receive help from people just around us, that quarreling tendency and that hypocrisy in our heart will prevent us from receiving that help and we will not benefit from that help. So especially this quality of compassion, very, very difficult in today's times. We remember the story of one of the sannyasis in our society, His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Swami Maharaj. So he personally told His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj about an incident that would happen in his life. He grew up fatherless. Already he was from the black community. So this is before Martin Luther King, the black reformer, he changed history. Before he changed history, the blacks were really oppressed in America. After him, things have changed a little bit. It means his name was John Favors. He grew up in a time, he grew up in a neighborhood where being a black person was a curse. Economically, because the father was not there, a single mother raised 3 kids. So, not much wealth, not many facilities, even simple necessities of clothes, food, shelter was difficult. So, he told that as a child, he never ever had more than 2 to 3 sets of clothes. Never. And the clothes that he had would sometimes be torn here and there. And because he would go to the school, he would play with the friends and sometimes some of his friends would visit him at his home. And if his mother would see that John's clothes were a little bit better than his friend's clothes, then his mother would immediately take out the clothes in the closet, in the wardrobe, and gift it to John's friend. And His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he fondly remembers these memories. I had 2 sets of clothes, 3 sets of clothes. And I see it before my eyes that somebody who has come, my mother is gifting it to him. No attachment. So he remembers his mother as a very kind-hearted lady who, just to teach her son this quality of compassion, just to teach her son this quality of having a soft heart, she would do this. Although, who will provide now? That kid is not going to provide now. Again, she has to work more. She has to earn more money. So, it basically means that she is gifting troubles for herself. But she would do that happily, just to make sure that good samskaras would happen on John. And later, he was one of the most kind-hearted sannyasis in ISKCON. He is no longer there with us. But this story is a sterling example of how important it is for small kids to learn the quality of sharing, to learn the quality of compassion. Somebody who has experienced compassion, somebody who has experienced these kind of dealings in his childhood, when he grows up, it's easier for him to do that, to replicate that with the people he meets. But a small kid who has always observed selfishness at his home, to varying degrees, it may be in a small way. But then when he grows up, because those samskaras are there, even when he deals with his friends, he deals with the people in society at large, that is what will reflect in his behavior. Parents have this very heavy responsibility on them, their shoulders, that sometimes just to teach the kids, they'll have to set exemplary standards for dealings between themselves. We have another story But before that, we wanted to say that, so this was something that we had to offer to you today, compassion. And now we'll discuss a few categories of compassion. So the first category that we have come up with is compassion on others. So the story is that there were two brothers. One was doing very good in society, had a name, well educated. And the other brother, he's almost like a drunkard, wasting his life, does not have a good name in society. So somebody observed that there are these two people and they are brothers and they have really opposite behaviors. So out of curiosity, he approached the brother who was not doing good in life and asked him, what happened? How did you get into this situation? So he said, actually this goes back to the time when I was a small child. Every night I remember my father would come home drunk. And sometimes he would beat my mother. So I have seen the most horrible things in my home. He would abuse her. Sometimes he would beat and abuse me also. The kids. He says, that behavior that I saw in my childhood, it has such a deep impact on my mind that those impressions are so strong. When I grew up, I could not overcome those impressions. I grew up in fear. I was not confident about myself being abused. So I did not educate myself properly. I could not get a proper job. My behavior with my friends is not proper. So here I am. Burden to society. So these words, they further intrigue this person. He says, okay, he's talking about abuse and now he is also in a similar situation. So then he is thinking, what about the other brother? So he goes to the other brother. And he asks him, so what is the cause that you are such a nice person? How come you are of such a good character? So he says, actually this goes back to the time when I was a kid. He does not know that this person has already visited his brother. He says, my father was a drunkard and he would regularly come and abuse and sometimes become physically violent also. So he's hearing. So he says, when I saw those kind of things that are happening in my home, that day I decided, if this happens in somebody's home, look at the damage that happens. And that day I decided, when I grow up, I will never ever do this in my life. So the same event, it produced two opposite reactions. It means there is something that is much deeper than just observing things. Yes? We have the story of Bharat Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was the emperor of the whole planet and at one point of time, after carefully executing all duties, he left behind his kingdom to pursue higher duties, spiritual duties. So he goes to the forest and he is engaging in devotional service. But one day accidentally, he sees that a mother deer, a doe, gives birth to a child deer. And then there's a lion that roars. So she runs off, scared. And that baby deer falls into the river. And now it is in a perilous condition. Dangerous condition. So, out of genuine compassion, he saves that baby deer. So, from the baby deer's perspective, Bharat Maharaj is his mother. So, he fondles the deer also reciprocates. And there are very loving dealings between Bharat Maharaj and the deer. So, time goes by, and as is the situation, usually, that what starts off as a small liking usually develops into deeper and deeper affection. So a time comes when Bharat Maharaj, who has renounced the whole world, ends up getting over fascinated with the deer. So as he is remembering Krishna, suddenly he remembers the deer. As he is chanting some mantras, he hears the sound of the deer. As sometimes he is sitting for meditation or doing a yajna, the deer comes and rubs its soft nose against Bharat Maharaj's body. So affection deepens. And then he pays the price for it. The price is that at the end of his life, he remembers the deer and all his sacrifice of leaving his family, it all goes waste in one sense. So one wonders, you know, here is such an exalted devotee. He had so much love for Krishna that he left his kingdom behind, so much wealth. How could he stray away from what was expected from him? So in a book called Madhurya Kadambini, one of our Acharya Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he talks about four kinds of anarthas. So he says, there are anarthas that come from past sins. So if you have done some sinful activities in the past, and now you no longer do it, but in the course of devotional service, sometimes some desires suddenly crop up, and you don't know from where they have come. There is no apparent reason for it. Another category of anarthas is those that are born out of offenses to the devotees, to the holy dham, to the holy name. So they might happen in the course of devotional service. So suddenly there is some contamination. You wonder, why am I getting angry so much? Why is there suddenly so much pride in my heart? Why is there the uprising of lust in my heart suddenly? I thought I had controlled it. But an offense leads to these anarthas. Then he says, there are some anarthas that come out of pious activities also. So if you have done some punya before, then the good feel that comes from doing a punya, pious activity, that also gives rise to some anarthas. And the fourth category of anarthas is very interesting. He says that are anarthas that are born out of devotional service, out of bhakti. How is it? He says, well, devotional service should be really devotional. So if somebody is rendering devotional service out of pride, out of greed, then even that devotional service can produce anarthas in the heart. So in the course of doing devotional service, because Bharat Maharaj became protective about that deer, to save a deer is compassion. But then to own up to the maintenance of the deer, which is not his duty. Day after day, he started getting into the mood now that other than me, now who will protect this deer? So he artificially owned up, voluntarily he owned up to the responsibility, and then he got too much caught up into the web of affection. So this is where the trouble started, and this is where that pride came. Now he is a devotee of Krishna. Krishna mentions, Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara, I am the maintainer of all living entities. So when Bharat Maharaj is on the level of Bhava Bhakti, he knows who is Krishna. He knows that Krishna is the real maintainer. He knows that everyone, food is already ordained for. Nobody goes hungry in this world unless there is gross mismanagement and gross exploitation. The elephants are getting their food. The ants get their food. Why should we worry so much? So he knows he is at Bhava Bhakti stage. The problem is that even though he is at that stage, he neglected that knowledge that Krishna is the real maintainer, and he tried to occupy that post of Krishna, that now I will maintain this deer. And that's where the trouble started, and he had to pay a price for that. Another example, a contrary example, is that of Srila Sridhar Swami, the past Acharya. So Srila Sridhar Swami, he was a householder, and at one point of time, his wife gave birth to a child. But when she gave birth to a child, she herself left her body. So now he is left with a motherless child. And those were the times when he was developing intense desire to accept the renounced order. He was getting nice realizations about God consciousness, and he wanted to dedicate the rest of his life to preach Krishna consciousness, to share it with others throughout the world. So probably it would have been easier for him if the mother was there. The child would have been protected. But when he saw that the mother has left, and now this tender child and me, we are the only ones in this world now. So there was a deep thought in his mind, should I renounce, should I not renounce, who will take care of this child and like that. So as he is thinking, he saw on the wall, there was a wall lizard. And it had laid some egg there, high up there somewhere in the wall. And in front of his eyes, the small lizard egg cracked open and a baby lizard came out. And as the baby lizard came out, there was a fly or some insect hovering around. Immediately the baby lizard stuck out its tongue and had its first meal. So this is not a funny incident, but the thing that struck him in this is, who taught this baby lizard that that insect is his food? There is no class, there is no education, there is no nutrition classes for the baby lizard. It had just come out of its egg and it managed to feed its stomach. Seeing this, his resolve did not become shallow. His resolve became deeper. He said, Krishna is the real maintainer. He has already arranged that this baby lizard can maintain itself. So he took to the renounced order and left home. And he is one of the most glorious acharyas who wrote the first commentary ever on Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll go to the next life of Bharat Maharaj. He became a deer and he was always cognizant of the fact that something went wrong in my past life, so I should not get attached. So he was a very detached deer. As a deer also, he was very detached. So in the third life now, he becomes Jad Bharat. Strong man, but no brains, apparently. That's why he was called Jad Bharat. So one day, the king needs a palanquin carrier and they harness him. So he is one of the four palanquin carriers. Now remember, he is still a Vaishnava. And we made a point that the compassion quality was very nice when he saved the deer. So even as Jad Bharat, because he is a Vaishnava, compassion is natural for him. So as he is walking, the other three are walking at a certain speed. But there is a row of ants on the ground. And so Bharat Maharaj, as Jad Bharat, his steps are so that he avoids those ants. And because he avoids those ants, it is not matching with the steps of the other three palanquin carriers. There is a jolt to the palanquin. The king becomes very angry. The king comes out. He asks him, who are you? Why did you do this? He almost starts abusing him. He said, do you know who you are and do you know who I am? You are my servant, I am the king. If I want, I can kill you right now and nobody can oppose me. So when he asks him, why did you do this? Why did you disturb me? Don't you know my power? The interesting thing is that Jad Bharat does not give an ant protection seminar. He does not touch the topic of ants at all. He does not talk about protection of ants at all. He gives the most powerful philosophy to Rahugan, King Rahugan. And King Rahugan is mesmerized. A few concepts that he hears from Jad Bharat and he becomes his disciple. He says, I failed to recognize you. Please pardon me. So the point that we want to mention is many times we hear about this story that this over-compassion of Bharat Maharaj cost him three more lives in the material world. He spent more time in the material world. So one will immediately come to a fast conclusion. It means being compassionate is wrong. But immediately we see, even in the rectifying stage, as Jad Bharat, he was very compassionate to the ants. So, you know, the compassion deepened. He was compassionate to the deer there. Here, his compassion is even to the most smallest living entity, the ants. But the difference was, it never became into attachment. He did not go deeper into the art of protecting ants any more than it was necessary. So he personally did not step on it, but the message that he gave to Rahugan was not that the goal of life is to protect ants, the goal of life is to protect deer. He said the goal of life is to understand who you are and go back home, back to Godhead. So that is where his compassion matured. His compassion did not degrade. So this was one example of compassion on others. This time, he has no pride. In the previous time when he made a mistake, he had the pride that I am the maintainer. This time he did not have pride. Therefore he did not get hurt. When Rahugan was blaspheming him, there is no hurt. There is no retaliation. There is no counter cursing from Jad Bharat's side. He quietly hears all the abuses that Rahugan Maharaj gives him. Then he says, you were asking a question that do you know who you are? And you said that you are the king and you said that I am your servant. But he says, these are the words in the Bhagavatam, 5th canto. He says, my dear sir, life is temporary. In this life, you are the king and I am the servant. In the next life, it can be that I am the king and you are the servant. So very coolly, very simply, he just, you know, disentangles all those high philosophy that Rahugan accused him of, abused him, and convinces him that the real goal of life is to serve Krishna. So no pride, that is what we wanted to highlight. Their pride was their problem, here there is no pride. The second category that we want to speak about is compassion on those trying to harm others. So the example that we are going to discuss is, at one point of time in history, the mother of the Daityas, Diti, so she is the mother of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. When both of them are killed, when Hiranyaksha was killed, there was Hiranyakashipu to give her a lesson on the basics of the Gita. But when Hiranyakashipu is also killed, now there is nobody to educate her. So she becomes wild with anger. Now she thinks, my very powerful husband, Kashyap Muni, he can help me. So she makes up a plan of trying to please Kashyap Muni in some way or the other and get a benediction from him to get a son who can kill Indra. Because this whole thing was done to please Indra. In the morning class also, His Grace Braj Bihari Prabhu, he touched on this topic that Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Krishna appears and again to help Indra because he is his representative. So Diti, she makes up a plan. She acts in a very friendly service mood in her dealings with her husband. And the husband becomes very happy with her service. So he asks her, what do you want? Definitely you want something. So she reveals her heart. She says, I want an immortal son who can kill Indra. So hearing this, Kashyap Muni's heart is shattered. He said, I should have recognized this extraordinary service attitude that suddenly she developed towards me. I should have detected it. But Kashyap Muni says, it's not her fault. She's pained because she lost her sons. It is my fault. I should have recognized it and I should not have given her a benediction that, okay, ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. I should not have done that. So he owns up to that responsibility and now it is his task to settle the situation. This is a very dangerous proposal to give her a son who will kill Indra. Because after all the mistakes and after all the offenses that Indra does, finally he is a person who is willing to rectify himself. He commits offenses, he disturbs the working of the universe, but when somebody educates him and somebody tells him, you went wrong. You should not have done this. He says, all right, accepted, white flag, surrender. He begs forgiveness and is willing to rectify himself. And Krishna has put him in that position. So a son, a living entity, to kill Indra would be a very sinful act. So now in front of Kashyap Muni, there is a big dangerous situation. If he wishes to fulfill the wife's demands, which he has already agreed to, then Indra will be killed and he'll be in trouble. And if he does not do that, then it is that somebody, a gentleman like Kashyap Muni, awards a promise and now he does not honor it. That's also not good. So what does he do? He becomes a compassionate husband. He's a Vaishnav, so he becomes a compassionate person. He tells her, all right, if you want a son like that, I'll tell you a process. I'll tell you a vow. So this vow is called the Pumsa Vana vow. Pumsa Vana is the name of this vow. He gives her a detailed procedure. He says, for 1 year, you do all this, which I'll be telling you now. And if you do this without any discrepancy, without any fault, definitely you will get a son who can kill, who is capable of killing Indra. Now here are those conditions, what he tells her. The very first condition is, Ma Himsyat Bhuta Jatani. Ma is no, Himsyat is no Himsa, to whom, to Bhuta Jatani means anybody who is a living entity, who is born. The very first instruction, the very first condition for that Pumsa Vana vow is, you should not cause violence to any living entity. Now this is where it should have clicked to Diti. The whole purpose of this vow is to get a person who can kill, who can cause the greatest violence, that is to separate the body from the soul, of the greatest administrator. So such a great violence I want to do. And to achieve that, son, I should do something. And the first condition for that is, don't do violence to any living entity. Yes. Just see how Kashyap Rishi is so expert, he tricks Diti. Then there are some other conditions. We are taking just some relevant conditions. It's a long list of conditions. Some other conditions are, so do not be violent to living entities, do not cause harm to anybody, don't curse anybody, do not speak or associate with wicked people, evil people. Now she herself is an evil person. Yes. So just see how all those conditions are almost impossible to follow. It means destiny is set. That child will never be born. Yes. But he is very intelligent. So we want to come to a particular point which we'll discuss. Then he says, during this 1 year of following the Pumsavana vow, you should not eat flesh. You should not eat fish. Then he gives some positive instructions. He says, you should worship cows. You should worship Brahmanas. You should worship Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. And you should worship the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Yes? So do's and don'ts. Some of those don'ts are like our initiation vows. Yes? No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And some of the do's are, I'll worship the representatives of Krishna. So servant of servant of servant. I'll worship Krishna. Krishna is my Lord. I'll chant the Hare Krishna mantra every day. So almost initiated her. Something like that, if we can say that. And what did Diti do? Because she was so much engrossed in those thoughts, and she said, here is my husband, he's already promised me, and whatever he says, I'm going to do it. So she actually does that vow. So it is mentioned, hitopadesham shrunuyat kurvit cha yathoditam viduroktam kritva bhuta kaurava shoka shalya bhak. What does this mean? This is Sanskrit subhashit. It says, when people advise you to do something, you should do it. Not just listen to that advice and then do something else. The example that is given is, even though Vidur instructed Kaurava, Dhritarashtra so much, Dhritarashtra never did it. And so, he was full of grief. So, you and me, we might also receive good advice, but if we don't act on it, there's no use. It is as good as we did not receive that good advice. The good point of Diti was, she had faith in her husband and she executed this Pumsavana vow. So, what happened? One day, there was some discrepancy. There was some condition that after eating, you should wash your mouth, you should wash your hands, and you should wash your feet. And she failed to do that. And when it was twilight time, which is an inauspicious time for sleeping, she went to sleep. So seeing that there was a discrepancy, Indra, against whom this whole conspiracy is going on, he entered her womb secretly, and there was an embryo inside. He cut that embryo into 7 pieces. Then each of those 7 pieces, he again cut into 7 more pieces. So now the embryo inside was cut into 49 pieces. Now to his amazement, those 49 pieces were shining with splendor. They were not killed. And this incident is being spoken by Shukdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. So as soon as Shukdev Goswami speaks this, Shukdev Goswami reminds Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit, do you remember that you also, in the womb of your mother Uttara, Ashwatthama's Brahmastra had completely killed you, but the Supreme Lord Krishna rejuvenated you. Similarly, because Diti had performed 1 year Pumsavana vow in honor of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, even though Indra personally, with his vajra weapon, which is considered to be the most dangerous weapon, he cut those embryos, tender embryos, but those 49 embryos, they were living. So he says, is it amazing, Shukdev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, is it amazing that those 49 embryos continue to live? It's not amazing. If Supreme Lord is protecting you, who can kill you? Mare Krishna, Rakhe Ke. Rakhe Krishna, Mare Ke. If Krishna decides to protect you, who can kill you? And if Krishna decides to kill you, who can protect you? Is it not? So, he comes up with this point. So, when Diti after some time, when she woke up, she saw the 49 sons who are called the Maruts, the wind gods, and Indra. So the 49 sons, they look at Indra and they can see that he is the one who's trying to harm us. So they say, oh Indra, why are you trying to kill us? We are like your brothers, we are like your well-wishers. And Indra says, if you are my well-wisher, if you are not trying to kill me, because that was the vow, original vow, then you don't have to fear me. So when Diti wakes up after some time, she sees the 49 embryos who are now little grown up, they have friendly relationships with Indra. The whole purpose was to kill Indra, but she is amazed to see that in this 50 brothers, they are talking nicely with each other. So it is mentioned, seeing those wonderful exchanges between those 50 living entities, the 49 Maruts and Indra, her heart also changes and she is happy to see how she did not give birth to a son or to sons who will kill Indra. Her heart is changed. She is very happy. And then Indra and those 49 brothers go back to the heavenly planets. This is the sweet ending of this story. So what we wanted to tell you was, Diti is a person who was in the lower modes. She was having deep enmity against the killer of her sons. So she is in the lower modes, ignorance, little bit of passion. So when somebody is in those modes, it is very difficult to make him sit and instruct him. Such a person needs some activity, such a person needs some engagement. Especially somebody in the mode of passion, he needs a lot of engagement. So sometimes, an able person, he does not instruct in a verbal manner, but he gives some kind of an engagement to that person, and that also can be seen as compassion. Yeah, so we wanted to highlight this fact, that especially in today's modern times, when we meet people, very few people are eager to sit and listen. Is it not? So restless. There is so much restlessness within, there is so much restlessness in the pocket, in the form of a cell phone. So take it out and then they'll do something, then put it inside. Yes, so many things going on. It's very difficult for an ordinary human being today to have the ability to listen. So such people, they should be given a lot of engagement. And that is compassion for them. And that is what Kashyap Rishi did to Diti. He did not tell her, what nonsense, how can you think about this? Do you know who Indra is? How can you dare to speak like this? I'll never sanction your vow. He quickly thought of something, gave her something that purified her, that purified Indra also. And the world got 49 new demigods. Yes? So that's nice. One time one man, he asked a saintly person, what is the difference between like and love? Yes, in today's times we use these words quite interchangeably. Somebody says, I like him, I like her. And many times people will say, I love him, I love her. So he is asking, what is the difference? They look similar. So the saintly person said, simple. He said, when you like a flower, you pluck it. When you love a flower, you take care of it. You nourish it, you water it, you protect it. So Kashyap Rishi, he wanted not to just harm his wife. He wanted to elevate her. He wanted to love her. He wanted to educate her. So he gave her a process, and the end result of that process is auspicious for everyone. Yes? The third category that we have mentioned is, the first one was compassion on others. The second was compassion on others who are trying to harm somebody else. The third category is compassion on somebody, others, who is trying to harm you. How do you deal with such a person? So we have taken the example of Prahlad. Prahlad, so much loved by his father. There are descriptions of how Hiranyakashipu would call him, make him sit on his lap, smell his head, and say, Prahlad, what did you learn in school today? So that person who was very cruel in the outside world, in dealing with his son, very soft-hearted. At least it appeared to be like that. And later, when Prahlad revealed his true identity, that actually, I am a devotee of Vishnu, and my advice to you is that you should also become a devotee of Vishnu, he undergoes a change. There is a time when he takes Prahlad, who is sitting on his lap, throws him down on the floor, and says, take him away. He's a curse to my family. Kill him in different ways. Do whatever you want with him, but eliminate him. He calls Prahlad a diseased limb. He says, if one part of the body becomes diseased, you should sever it. You should cut it away. Otherwise, it will harm the whole body. Just imagine a son who was so lovable just a few days back is now a diseased limb. The extent to which he abuses Prahlad is, he calls Prahlad in one shloka, he says, you are the killer of my brother. So who killed Hiranyaksha? Lord Vishnu killed. So he is saying, even though Lord Vishnu killed, you did not kill. I know you. You were not even born at that time. But why is he saying? He says, Vishnu killed and you are a believer of Vishnu. You are a supporter of Vishnu. It means, aap bhi bhagidar ho us karya mein. So you are the killer. Just think about it. You know, this child is not even born at that time and he's accusing, you are the killer of your uncle. You are the killer of my brother. Just see how he undergoes a change. So in one Subhashit, it is mentioned, Vyavasthitaha prashantatma kupito api abhayankaraha. Avyavasthita chittasya prasado api bhayankaraha. What does it mean? Here it is saying, Vyavasthitaha prashantatma. When a saintly person who is vyavasthita, who is situated properly, and he is a prashantatma, he is usually very kind-hearted, he is usually very soft-hearted. Kupito api avayankara. Kupita means he becomes super angry. Kop jab hota hai, still he is abhayankara. So, a gentleman, a saintly person, even though he is becoming very angry, he is not dangerous. But in the next line it is mentioned, avyavasthita chittasya, somebody who is a rogue, prasado api bhayankara. Even if he becomes happy with you and is awarding benedictions to you, that is also bhayankara. Why? Because the motivation is wrong. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu, when he was liking, fondling Prahlad, we should be aware of this fact. It should not be taken as his affection. Yes? Because this person agrees or he's controlling him in such a way that he's not allowing him to speak the reality, so then he's very nice, he's very affectionate in his dealings. But as soon as Prahlad reveals his identity, that I am a Vishnu Bhakta, immediately, you know, he shows his real face and he orders his own servants to kill Prahlad. Later, when Lord Narasimhadev comes and kills Hiranyakashipu, he asks Prahlad, Prahlad, ask for a benediction. What do you want? I want to award you some benediction. So Prahlad says, please don't tempt me. I am not a vanik. I am not a trader. I am your servant and you are my master. You are an ideal master and I am an ideal servant. I don't want anything from you. But Narasimhadev says, no, I want to give you. I am happy. Mango kuch. So Prahlad says, all right, if you want to really, really, really give me something, I just want one benediction. My father, whom you killed, he was such a big demon. Can you give him liberation? That is the only thing that Prahlad asks, nothing for himself. So somebody who in front of his very eyes ordered his servants to kill him, there were several attempts. This way, no, not happening. That way, not happening. He employed his own sister, Holika. Tried every bit to kill him. But what does Prahlad think of? Prahlad thinks, can you liberate my father? So this is Prahlad's mood. So in 7.5.37, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes one line which he wanted to share here. He writes, Srila Prabhupada is writing, Prahlad Maharaj maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father, Hiranyakashipu, yet he was tolerant and humble. So nicely Prabhupada has put, I was just amazed by this. He maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father. But as far as his dealings with the father are concerned, very tolerant and very humble. He never ever disrespected his father. He never ever shot back at his father. He never ever told him, don't you have any brains? Never ever. He spoke very softly. He asked him, so what is the best thing that you learnt at school? Sabse achi cheez kya seekhi aapne? So he is saying, he gives Navada Bhakti. So Prahlad is such a nice example. He knows what is compassion on those who are trying to kill you. He never became violent on them. But as far as the truth is concerned, He never compromised on truth. What is the best thing? Devotional service to Krishna. Who is God? Krishna. Vishnu. The fourth category is a very, very rare category. What is that? Compassion on the entire universe. Not on others, not on others who harm others, not on others who harm you. Compassion on each and every living entity. Who is that person? Vasudev Datta. So one amazing Vaishnav in Chaitanya Leela, one time he approached Lord Chaitanya and told him, my dear Lord, you are the Supreme Lord. If you want, you can do anything. There is nothing impossible for you. I have a desire. Yes, what is your desire? So he says, when I look at this world at large, when I see so many people suffering, and I can understand it is because of a lack of knowledge. They don't know what is the right thing to do. They don't know what bad things are to be avoided. Ignorance. It pains my heart. Is it possible for you that you liberate all these living entities without any condition, without any consideration, every one of them, all at one go? Free all of them from the bondage of material life, birth, old age, disease and death. Set them free. Now the question is, why are we here? We are here because we have a desire to be here. And then because we have a desire, we commit activities like that. So there are sinful reactions waiting for all of us to the extent to which we are engaged in sinful activities. What about that? So Vasudev Datta is not an ignorant person. He sees ignorance in others, but as far as he is concerned, he is knowledgeable. So he says, and if you wish, then all the living entities in this universe, their karma, their reactions that are waiting for them, you put them on my head. I am willing to suffer life after life, suffering the reactions of every living entity, but it pains me to see so many living entities suffering unlimitedly. There is no way, there is no rescue for all of them. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is described, when he hears that request, he's not able to reply. His voice falters. His limbs are trembling. He's barely able to stand. Never ever before has anybody expressed a desire like this to the Supreme Lord. There's one great saintly person who has expressed a desire that, my dear Lord, those who follow me, all their sinful activities you put on me. Vasudev Datta is much more beyond that. He is saying, I'm not talking of those who follow me, I'm not talking of those who agree with me, I'm talking of every living entity. Just free them all. So Prabhupada mentions, never before has anybody reached such a high level of compassion. I'm willing to suffer, but set everyone free. And the result of this is that the Supreme Lord is overcome, is overwhelmed. It's very difficult to overwhelm the Supreme Lord, is it not? In the Gita, Arjun gives such fantastic arguments and Krishna is just standing. Prahasaniva Bharata. Unmoved. The same Lord here, hearing these arguments from Vasudev Datta, his heart trembles. So how can you think of this? And as a result of that, Lord Chaitanya says, no need for you to suffer, but I liberate all the living entities. So it is mentioned at that moment, all the living entities that were present in the universe, they got liberated. And their posts were occupied by a new set of living entities. So what we wanted to highlight was, one devotee's compassionate prayer, that's all that matters. If we have even one devotee in our lives, and if we can convince him to pray for us, if by our sincerity we can convince him, and he makes a genuine prayer to Krishna, our life can change. Because in reciprocation to that devotee's prayers, there is nothing impossible for Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, in the last part of the 13th chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes in one line, he writes, in Vrindavan, there was one part which was isolated. It was not part of Vrindavan. It was far away from the main Vrindavan. And a devotee desired that there should be a temple. And today, there is a temple and it is the center of all activities, spiritual activities. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about Sri Sri Krishna Balaram temple, the ISKCON temple in Vrindavan. When it was originally built, the land that was donated, it was physically out of Vrindavan. One of our senior devotees was mentioning that when the land was given, there were tigers that would come to that land. That was the part of Vrindavan. And today, that's the most famous and the most happening part of Vrindavan. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir's Harinam Sankirtan, 24 hours Kirtan, is famous in the whole Braj area. In no other temple, there is 24 hour Harinam Sankirtan going on. So now, that part which was out of Vrindavan is now the center of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada writes in a very humble way, one devotee desired and it happened. And then he writes one line, such are the desires of a devotee. So, we wanted to also mention that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one person, one Vaishnav, he desired that the whole world should become Krishna conscious. He instructed his disciple, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And today as a result of that, there are thousands and thousands of devotees, millions of devotees, hundreds of centers where all of us can come together and glorify Krishna, chant his names, have his nice prasad. One person's desire. So it is mentioned, God can move mountains, but a prayer can move God. Just one sincere prayer, we should learn to pray. All it takes is a desire to pray. So that is compassion. Then we wanted to highlight Srila Prabhupada's compassion. Well, many times compassion in our concept is somebody who keeps quiet, somebody who is very soft-hearted, who always talks in a very sweet way. So a saintly person is described as Vajrad api kathorani mruduni kusumad api. A saintly person is harder than a thunderbolt. It is said a thunderbolt can even cut a mountain. At the same time, he is also as soft as a kusum, as a flower, rose. So how can the same person be as hard as a thunderbolt and as soft as a rose? Because it is motivated not by selfish ego, but out of a genuine desire. What is good for this student? What is good for this disciple? What should I do that will impel this person to go forward in the direction of Krishna? This is the thought in the saintly person's mind. When you and me become angry, when you and me become heavy on somebody, it is motivated by pride, it is motivated by ego, it is motivated by our projection of our image. We want to make a certain image in front of people. Whatever it is. So there's some other motivation other than the well-being of that person. But when a pure person becomes heavy, it is purely for the upliftment of that person. And when that person becomes very soft, it is also for the upliftment of that person. Yes? When we become soft-hearted with somebody, it can be out of selfishness. Maybe you want something from that person, so now you are talking sweetly to that person. And so, if you are selfish, if you are harsh or if you are soft, if you are selfish, it cannot stand the test of time. Very soon, the reality is revealed. So we have one example from Srila Prabhupada's life. One of his disciples was Leelavati Devi Dasi, Leelavati Mataji. She was a college graduate, very well educated. And in those days, most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they were college dropouts. Because they wanted to reject the standard way of life. They were from good family backgrounds, but willingly they had taken that decision. So amongst all those disciples who did not have a college education, formal college education, she was outstanding, very intelligent. So whenever there would be some service, Leelavati Mataji would do it with perfection. And so Prabhupada would always appreciate her. How nice it is, how does she do that? The thing with appreciation is, if we don't know how to handle appreciation, we mess it up. So she became a little bit proud about it, and Srila Prabhupada sensed it. So one day Srila Prabhupada, he made one sweet. It is called Simply Wonderful. Yes, it's made out of milk powder, butter, sugar, and some other things. So when he made it, so he called Leelavati Mataji and do you want to taste it? She said, of course. So she tasted it. Then Prabhupada asked her, can you guess what are the ingredients inside? So she tasted it. No. She said, I can't guess. I don't know what is there inside. So Prabhupada began to laugh. You are such an intelligent lady. You know so many things. But you can't guess the ingredients of what you are eating. And when you are proud, you are expecting appreciation for every little thing that you do. So when you are expecting appreciation, and when you get even a little criticism, it just cuts the heart. So she was in a state of shock because she had never heard these words from her spiritual master. So she's almost on the verge of crying because Prabhupada is laughing and laughing and laughing. You don't know this. You're tasting it and you don't know it. How can you do this? Then Prabhupada, to top it all, he called some of his other disciples who were in the kitchen and like that. So one was Govinda Mataji. Very simple lady. Very service oriented. And he gave that sweet to Govind Mataji also. He said, do you know our Leelavati? She's so intelligent, but she cannot guess the contents of this sweet. And they also kind of, it was difficult for them, but this whole situation, what we want to highlight was, it was very embarrassing for Leelavati Mataji. Then Prabhupada asked this Govinda Mataji, can you guess what are the ingredients? And she put it on the mouth and she said, butter, sugar, milk powder. Prabhupada said, yes, that's right. And she said, just see our Leelavati. She's so intelligent, but she does not know. She was crushed. She was almost crying and crying and crying. But when she was alone after that incident, she reflected and she realized that in some of her dealings, in some of the way she was talking and all, her spiritual master must have sensed some pride. And the whole episode was just to tell her we should not become proud of our God-given talents. Never again did Prabhupada ever act in this way with this disciple. Very lovingly he had relationships with this disciple. But this one incident, it is just to tell us that compassion, especially in spiritual circles, should not be interpreted only as coming in a way in which we expect it to come. It can come in another way also. However, it is the purity of the person that makes it authentic. So after hearing all these categories and examples and all right, so you know, Prahlad could do it and Kashyap Rishi could do it and Prabhupada could do it. So what does it mean for us? What do we do with all this understanding? So we'll speak a little bit on that. What does it mean for us in the modern context? When we see somebody who is ill, what are the different ways in which we can help that person? One is we can give him some medicine. One is we can sit with him, pat on his back and say, no, sab kuch theek ho jayega, chinta mat karo, Bhagwan ke ghar mein der hai, andher nahi hai. All those kind of things. Third is we educate him. What is your disease? So he says something. My eyes are paining. So then you remind him. Yesterday, did you watch a long, long IPL match? Yes. So don't do it. It seems to harm your eyes. Some advice for him. And the fourth thing is, you actually tell him the root of all problems, that what are you expected to do in your life and what are you doing nowadays? Why have you put your hand into so many other things? Thus there are different levels of compassion. So the first advice that we spoke of, that is giving some medicine, is physical compassion. The compassion that we spoke of in this case, that you know, you sit with him and try to give him a pep talk, try to inspire him to fight with the disease, it is emotional compassion on the mental level. The third level is when you give him some advice on how this can be prevented in the future, is compassion on the level of intelligence, trying to give him some good sanguine advice. And the fourth level is spiritual compassion, where you tell him the root of all problems, that when we actually develop a higher goal in life, then we don't waste our time doing any of those things which are inherently harmful for us. The packet says it is harmful for you, so why should we do it? When we want to offer a flower to Krishna, will we choose the most beautiful flower or will we choose a flower that is worn out? If we go to the market, we'll choose the best flower, is it not? So when we want to offer ourselves to Krishna, Should we not maintain ourselves? Our body should be fit. Our mind should be fit. Our intelligence should be sharp. So somebody who wants to genuinely offer himself to Krishna, how much more he will take care of his body? How much more he will make sure that his mind is not affected by bad association? How much he will make sure that he has refined intelligence to discriminate what is good, what is not good, what is right, what is wrong? Similarly, in this world, for every situation, there can be compassion shown at different levels. No matter how much we care for the body, just by staying in this world, there is wear and tear, decay. It means you cannot go beyond a certain limit giving bodily compassion. You are giving him bodily strength, you are giving him something for the body, but the body naturally decays. You cannot stress too much on emotional compassion. Why? Because the mind keeps fluctuating. So somebody who is helped by your emotional help today, tomorrow his mind changes and he rejects your help. What to do now? Yes? So you cannot stress too much on emotional compassion. What about intellectual compassion? Knowledge? Why don't we give knowledge to people and stress more on it? Sometimes in this world, if you give knowledge to people, there is a tendency that they take it cheaply. So they don't respect what you are giving to them. It means there is no benefit. You sit with somebody, you give him the best advice. At the end of it, he says, "Thank you, now I am on my own." Or as the popular Hindi thing goes, you know, somebody was speaking Ramayana to another person, at the end of it he says, "So whose father was Sita?" It means you didn't hear. All this time I was speaking to you the entire story, where was your attention? So there's no point in giving intellectual compassion also. So then we come to the last category, which is spiritual compassion. However, the nature of people in this world today especially is that when you give them something direct, it's very difficult for them to accept it. If you catch hold of somebody on the street and tell him, "You are a spirit soul, you are not the body, here is the Supreme Lord and he is calling all of us, we should all come, take his darshan, read about his words, eat his prasad," he'll look at you in a strange way. So sometimes with an aim of giving spiritual compassion, not with an aim of giving physical, emotional or intellectual compassion, we'll have to package it in such a way that we give bodily compassion, we give emotional compassion, we give intellectual compassion, but the basis of it all is spiritual compassion. It means when we counsel somebody, the basis of counseling is Krishna only. When we give advice to somebody, the basis is Krishna only. When we give physical medicine to somebody, the basis is that this medicine will make him fit to serve Krishna only. So in this way, if we have a clear intention, if we know that spiritual compassion is the best compassion, even though we might be giving physical, emotional, intellectual compassion, still it is counted as spiritual compassion. Out of these four types, we'll highlight a little bit on intellectual compassion, which is knowledge. How knowledge, giving somebody knowledge is good, is helpful. When Arjuna is taken between the two armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the first argument that Arjuna gives to reject fighting, what is it? Compassion. Yeah, so after discussing for almost 1 hour on compassion, now we are seeing how Arjuna also gives his argument of compassion. He says, "I'm not going to fight. Nimittani viparitani." He says, "The only results of this war I can see, they are vipreet. They are not good. They are inauspicious. I cannot fight this war." The first reason is compassion. So how amazing, how elevated is Arjuna? Something that we discussed for 1 hour and then now finally some of you are nodding your heads. Arjuna is speaking the very first thing in a moment of, you know, high stress in the middle of a battlefield. But we'll tell you what is the response of Krishna. You know what Krishna says? Krishna says, "How have these impurities come about in you?" So excuse me, what was this? We just now spoke so much on compassion and we say compassion is very good and it is rare and categories of compassion. Now so many Vaishnavas have compassion. And here is a Param Vaishnav, Arjun, constant companion of Krishna, who says, "My first argument against fighting is compassion. I don't want." And what does Krishna say? ಕುತಸ್ತ್ವ ಕಶ್ಮಲಮಿದಂ ವಿಷಮೇ ಸಮುಪಸ್ಥಿತೆ ಅನಾರ್ಯ ಜುಷ್ಟಮ ಸ್ವರ್ಗಂ ಅಕೀರ್ತಿಕರಂ ಚ ಅರ್ಜುನ. ವೇರ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಂಪ್ಯೂರಿಟೀಸ್ ಕಮ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಯು? ದಿಸ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿಫಿಟ್ ಎ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಹೂ ನೋಸ್ ದ ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಸೈನ್ಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೀಡ್ ಯು ಟು ಹೈಯರ್ ಡೆಸ್ಟಿನೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್, ನೈದರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್. ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ಲೀಡ್ ಯು ಟು ಇನ್ಫೇಮಿ. ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ನೋ, ದೀಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ಹೌ ಡು ವಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್? ವಿ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫೈಡ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್, ಹಿಯರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ್ ಹೂ ಸೇಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನ್ ಇಂಪ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ. ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್, ಇಂಪ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಹಾರ್ಶ್, ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ನಾಟ್? ಹೀ ಕುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಬಿಟ್ ಅವೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ಓಕೆ, ಐ ಆಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದ ಹೈಯೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್, ಬಟ್ ಗುಡ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್, ಪಾಸಿಂಗ್ ಮಾರ್ಕ್ಸ್. ನೋ, ಹೀ ಇಸ್ ಇಂಪ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ. ಇಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ದಿಸ್, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ರಾಂಗ್, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಲೌಡ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ನೀಡ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಎ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಬಿಟ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಪರ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿವ್ ಆನ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್. ಒನ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವರ್ ಇಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸಿಸ್, ಹಿಸ್ ಹೋಲಿನೆಸ್ ಜಯಪತಾಕ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, ವಾಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನಾಲಜಿ. ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಏರ್ ಪೈಲಟ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್ ದೇ ಫ್ಲೈ ಬೋಯಿಂಗ್ 747 ಅಂಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೈ ಎಂಡ್ ಪ್ಲೇನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದಿಸ್ ಫಿನಾಮಿನನ್. ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್, ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಫ್ಲೈಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ಎ ಹೈಟ್ ಆಫ್ 30,000 ಫೀಟ್ ಅಬೌವ್ ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್, ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ 40,000 ಫೀಟ್ ಅಬೌವ್ ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್. ಸೊ ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್, ಯು ನೋ, ಯು ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್ ವೆರ್ ಯು ಆರ್ 40,000 ಫೀಟ್ ಅಬೌವ್ ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಯು, ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್. ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ನೋ ಟ್ರೀಸ್, ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ನೋ ಬರ್ಡ್ಸ್, ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ನೋ ಕಿಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ನೇಬರಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಹೂ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಡೂ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟು ಯು. ಯೆಸ್, ಐ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಸೀನ್ ದಟ್ ವೆನೆವರ್ ಐ ಟ್ರಾವೆಲ್, ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ವಿಂಡೋ ದರ್ ಆರ್ ಕಿಡ್ಸ್ ಸೋ ಇನೋಸೆಂಟ್ ದಿಲ್ ವೇವ್ ಆಟ್ ಯು ವೆನ್ ದರ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ವೆನ್ ಅವರ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್. ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್, ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಬಡಿ ಅಪ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಯು ನೋಟಿಸ್ ದಿಸ್, ದಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಟ್ರಾವೆಲ್, ವೆನ್ ಯು ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಟ್ರೈನ್, ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಯುವರ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ಸ್ ಎಟ್ ಅ ರೈಲ್ವೆ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಆರ್ ಎ ಬಸ್ ಆರ್ ಎ ಕಾರ್ ಅಟ್ ಎ ಟ್ರಾಫಿಕ್ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಆರ್ ಎ ವೆಹಿಕಲ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಅಪೋಸಿಟ್ ಸೈಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸ್ಟೇಷನರಿ, ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಅಟ್ ಎ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ದ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಅಡ್ಜಸೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಯು ಇಟ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್, ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಷನ್, ಬಟ್ ದ ಇಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್. ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಯು ಎವರ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಗೋನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಲ್ಯೂಷನ್? ಸೊ ದ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ವಾಸ್, ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೋಷನ್, ಅವರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೂವ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆನ್ ಎ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿಸ್ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ಮೆಂಟ್, ಇಸ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆನ್ ಎ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೌ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಚೇಂಜಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್ ವಿತ್ ರಿಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಸಂಬಡಿ ಎಲ್ಸ್. ಯೆಸ್, ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಇಸ್ ಅಟ್ ಎ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಸ್ ಅನದರ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬೋತ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್, ವಿಲ್ ಯು ಫೀಲ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್? ನೋ. ವೈ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ರಿಲೇಟಿವ್ ಡಿಸ್ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ಮೆಂಟ್. ಯೆಸ್, ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ಡು ವಿ ಕಮ್ ಟು ನೋ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್? ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಸೀ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಸಮ್ ರೆಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ನೌ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿಸ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ಹೈ ದೇರ್ ಅಪ್ ದೇರ್, ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್. ಹೌ ವಿಲ್ ಯು ನೋ ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್? ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್. ಯೆಸ್, ನೋ, ಥಿಂಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್. ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಫ್ಲೈಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ನೈಟ್, ಸೊ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್, ಅಂಡ್ ನೌ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನೈಟ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಸೊ ಯು ಡೆಫಿನೆಟ್ಲಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್. ಇನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಟೇಕ್ ಎ ಪೋಲ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಆರ್ ಯು ಮೂವಿಂಗ್, ಆರ್ ಯು ನಾಟ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್, ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ 100% ಪೋಲ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್. ಯೆಸ್, ಎನಿವೇ, ಜೋಕ್ಸ್ ಅಪಾರ್ಟ್, ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ಪೈಲಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಟರ್ಬ್ಯುಲೆನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಏರ್. ಟರ್ಬ್ಯುಲೆನ್ಸ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ಏರ್ ಪ್ರೆಷರ್ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ಡ್ರಾಪ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ದ ಪ್ಲೇನ್ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ಲೈಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಟರ್ಬ್ಯುಲೆನ್ಸ್, ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ದ ಪ್ಲೇನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಡ್ರಾಪ್. ಬಟ್ ಹೈ ಅಪ್ ದೇರ್, ಇಟ್ ಮೇ ಬಿ ಡೇ, ಇಟ್ ಮೇ ಬಿ ನೈಟ್, ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಯು ಗೆಟ್ ಎ ಫೀಲಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಪ್ಲೇನ್ ಇಸ್ ರೈಸಿಂಗ್. ದ ವೇ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್, ಅವರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್, ದ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್, ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಡಿಸೈನ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಕ್ ಆನ್ ಲ್ಯಾಂಡ್, ಸೀ ಲೆವೆಲ್. ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಗೋ ಟು ಹಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್, ಯು ನೋ, ವಿ ಕ್ಲೈಂಬ್ ಅಪ್, ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಯು ಸೀನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಇಯರ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಪೇನಿಂಗ್? ಯು ಗೆಟ್ ಎ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಫೀಲಿಂಗ್. ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ರೈಸ್ 1,000 ಫೀಟ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಹಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್, ದೇರ್ ಸಮ್ ಅಬ್ನಾರ್ಮಾಲಿಟಿ, ಯು ಫೀಲ್ ಎ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಬಿಟ್. ಆರ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಸ್ ಮೈಟ್, ಯು ನೋ, ವೆನ್ ಯು ಕ್ಲೈಂಬ್ ಎ ಸ್ಟೇರ್ ಕೇಸ್, ದೆನ್ ಯು ಫೀಲ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್. ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಯು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಫೀಲಿಂಗ್? ಯು ಫೀಲ್ ಇನ್ಸೆಕ್ಯೂರ್. ಸೊ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್ ಎ ಫ್ಯೂ ಫೀಟ್ ಅಬೌವ್ ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾಲ್ ಫಂಕ್ಷನ್. ಯು ಆರ್ 40,000 ಫೀಟ್ ಅಬೌವ್ ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್. ಸೊ ದ ಪ್ಲೇನ್ ಇಸ್ ಡ್ರಾಪಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ಯು ಫೀಲ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ರೈಸಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ದ immediate reaction is that if the train, the plane is rising because of air turbulence, you want to control it and you want to take the plane down. It means you will do something, you will manipulate the controls in some way that the plane will go down. But you look at the controls and the controls tell you, the instruments tell you the plane is falling. Virodabhas. It's contradictory. The senses are telling you the plane is rising. The instruments are telling you the plane is flying. The response is completely opposite. You would want to lower the plane. But the instruments are telling you this is not the time to lower the plane. You have to raise the plane. Just imagine it's dark and you don't follow the instruments and you rely on your senses. A few minutes and there will be an explosion. You know, because it's already going down and now you'll take the plane further down, faster to death. So these air pilots were telling Maharaj, we have stopped relying on our senses when we fly the plane. When we are flying the plane, you keep your senses aside, just look at the instruments. If the instruments tell you you are flying, you are flying. If the instruments tell you you are going at such and such speed, you are going at such and such speed. There are no kids, there are no trees, there are no nothing. But you are going. If the instruments tell you your plane is dropping, you are dropping. If the instruments tell you you are going up, you are going up. Don't use your senses there. So just imagine, in this world, if a little bit change in the environment and your senses give you totally wrong sensory input. Now here is Krishna who is telling you, these are things, the environment around a plane, at least you can see it. Yes, you cannot make anything out of it, but at least you can see it. Dharma. What is dharma? Can you see it? It is something intangible. So when we make a certain decision in our life that this is dharmic and this is not dharmic, how can we be so sure, yes, my opinion is right, unless we consult somebody else? What makes us so sure, what gives us so much self-confidence, I know what is right, I will do what is right, I don't want anybody's opinion on what is right. Just imagine what is this illusion that we have. I already know what is right, I don't need anybody's advice. About subtle concepts, when we are not able to handle gross concepts, yes? So, what is the definition of knowledge then? The definition of knowledge is matter, spirit and controller of both. The world that we see is just matter. Beyond this material world is the spiritual world. And beyond these two is the controller of both. That is the Supreme Lord. This is the complete definition of knowledge. It means when Arjuna is giving such high level argument of compassion, fear of enjoyment, fear of sinful reactions, fear of destruction of family traditions. Very high level arguments. But from Krishna's perspective, it is only 33.3% of knowledge. And what is the passing percentage? In any exam? 35 or 40? Let's say 35. What is 33.3%? Is it fail or is it pass? Fail. That's why Arjun fails. And that's why Krishna says, Kutastva Kashmalam Idam. From our perspective, compassion, what an argument. I never could have thought of that argument. Yes? It's a very sophisticated, saintly argument. Only Krishna can reject it. You and me cannot reject it. From Krishna's perspective, whatever Arjun is speaking is within 33.3% and 33.3% less than 35%, so fail. So he says wrong. Chalo, next argument. Dispels that off also. So when we understand this MSC definition of knowledge, then we understand how Arjun's arguments are limited. There was one time a baby mosquito and he was just learning to take off. Talking of planes, another example of planes. So one day when he took his first flight, when he came back, the father mosquito asked him, so how was the first flight? So the baby mosquito said, amazing. Right on the first flight, wherever I went, all the people were clapping. It means he does not know. From his perspective, it is clapping. They are not clapping, they are trying to kill him. Similarly, we, with our little bit tiny weeny knowledge, you know, we are saying, no, I know everything. I don't need Krishna, I don't need the Gita. Yes, we should expand our knowledge. Many people feel that God is great. God has arranged for my food. That's not the greatness of God. Any father in this world also arranges for food and clothes for his sons. So what is so great if God does that? The greatness of the God is, he takes away his devotees from the path of dangerous, hellish sense gratification and makes him walk on the path of dharma. He makes sure the arrangements are all done so that the devotee will walk on the right path. Any devotee of Krishna you take, he'll take away the bad part from his life and make him an exemplary person. A lighthouse for the rest of the world. That is the true glory of God. That is the true kindness, compassion of God. Lord Chaitanya says, Ami vigya ei murkha vishaya kena diba. So he is saying, this devotee is foolish and sometimes he asks for sense gratification, some enjoyment in this world. Ami vigya. I know what is right, I know what is wrong. Vishaya kena diba. I will not give him sense gratification. So what will you do? Sva charanamrita diya vishaya bhulaiva. I'll give him the mercy which I want to give him. I'll give him my foot wash. Ganga is Lord Vishnu's foot wash. Now somebody's foot wash is not auspicious, but Vishnu's foot wash, worthy of worship. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'll give him my foot wash, vishaya bhulaiva. And in this way, my devotee will forget sense gratification. So this is the Supreme Lord's mood. There are so many things to discuss. We are just quickly going through it. We are skipping a few points. So much to discuss about knowledge. If you read teachings of Lord Chaitanya, so much philosophical knowledge that Lord Chaitanya has given to Srila Rup Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami. Lord Chaitanya's gift, many times we say, is Harinam. Yes, that is Lord Chaitanya's primary gift. And when he dealt with the masses, he did not speak philosophy. Everywhere he went, he did Harinam Sankirtan. But he wanted to give another gift with a few select people who could appreciate that gift. Ramanand Rai, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Prakashanand Saraswati, Rup Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. He gave detailed knowledge. Before coming to this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, avatar meant only 10, is it not? The Dasha Avatar. But did you know that there are different categories of avatars? There is a Leela avatar, there is a Purush avatar, there is a Guna avatar, there is a Manvantar avatar. So many different categories. Shaktyavesh avatar. There are categories of avatars. There is Tad Ekatma Roop avatar, Swayam Prakash, Vibhava Prakash, Swamsha, Vibhinna Amsha, Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti. If you actually go into the details, it's amazing how these simple concepts also have been dealt with in such fine detail. So if somebody is really interested, there's a lot of knowledge waiting for us. We had a small section to discuss. We'll just quickly go through it. This is 7.17 to 7.20. So in 7.17, Lord Krishna speaks about four kinds of devotees who surrender to him. So he says, the first is the distressed. The second is the inquisitive. The third is the desirer of wealth. And the fourth is a person in knowledge. Artha jigyasi artharthi jnani. In the next shloka, he says, Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir visishyate. Priyo hi jnani no atyartham aham sacha mama priya. He says, all these four are my devotees, but out of that, Tesham jnani nitya yukta. He is very dear to me. Who? The fourth one. One who is in knowledge. Out of all the devotees who worship Krishna, who come to Krishna, Krishna says, I like especially the devotee who worships me with knowledge. Understanding who I am. Not whimsically, not sentimentally. Not coming here out of some sentiment. But he says, yes, I appreciate them. But the best one is the jnani. Now this jnani, this person who is being discussed, is not the jnani that we sometimes criticize as devotees. That jnani is a person who lays over emphasis on the process of knowledge as a tool, as a means to realize God. So if you tell somebody, he is the Supreme Lord and we should worship him, we should serve him, Then he says, no, this is not necessary. On the basis of knowledge, on the basis of reading different scriptures, I will understand Krishna. Krishna will be within my grip. That is what we are condemning. But if some devotee amongst us has more knowledge of Krishna, and he shares that knowledge with us, don't we feel appreciation for him? Don't we feel indebted to him? Oh, he knows so much about Krishna. I didn't know this about Krishna. He knows about so many qualities of Krishna. He knows so many pastimes about Krishna. So that gyan is what is being discussed here. So Krishna says, I really like that devotee. And we analyzed it a little bit. So we have heard that there are four levels of approaching God. The lowest level is that out of fear. A little bit better than that is reward. A little bit better than that is duty. And the best is to approach God out of love. So the artha, distressed, is more or less approaching God on the level of fear. He's very fearful of pain. He's been fried a lot. So now, whenever he sees some reversal in his life, he runs to Krishna. So his artha is on the level of fear. The artharthi, he wants some monetary benefit. It means he's on the level of reward. He's approaching Krishna, but he's on the level of reward. The inquisitive, he has so many questions. Aisa kyun hota hai? Why does this happen? Why does this happen? So he feels, he wants to go deeper and deeper. He feels it is my duty to understand all the truths of this world. The inquisitive. So he's on the level of duty. But why does the jnani do it? As we mentioned, he understands Krishna. He understands who is Krishna. He is the source of all incarnations. He is the sweetest of all incarnations. Madhuram madhure bhyopi. Like that. So that's why he is on the highest level of love. And that's why Krishna says he is the best. So then the question will come, the other three, they are not good then? It means, you know, I have come to you out of distress. And I actually, yesterday I prayed to you for something. So now I am out? No. Krishna says, Udara Sarva Evaite. He says, all these four are Udar. Who is an Udar person? Udar is that person who is very magnanimous, who is very charitable. So we thought Krishna is charitable. A rich person can be charitable. Krishna is the most richest. He is the husband of Goddess of Fortune. So he is charitable. He is Udar. But in this shloka, Krishna calls these four kinds of people who approach him as Udar. Now what is this? So Baldev Vidyabhushan says, you know why they are Udar? Why does Krishna say they are Udar? Krishna calls these four devotees Udar. They give me their affection. When these four devotees, they come to Krishna, they give their heart's affection to Krishna. Krishna says, nobody in this world gives me his affection. People of this world, they give their affection to their family members, to their so many people, sometimes their pets. Now all these categories are gone. Now it's more of an electronic device, some tablet. Yes, electronic tablet, some phone or something like that. So much affection goes to these things. Krishna is saying, out of all these people, ye charitable log hai, inka affection humko de rahe hai. So he calls them Udar. Ramanujacharya gives another interesting understanding. He says, as a father, I want to give them. I'm already giving them. But these people, they are so Udar. Why are they Udar? They give me the satisfaction of giving them. So Krishna is saying, when they ask me and I give them, I get satisfaction of giving. Now you and me will say, but I get satisfaction of receiving. But Krishna is saying, you know, your satisfaction is temporary. You are receiving from me. My satisfaction in giving is much deeper. So you are so kind-hearted that you give me the satisfaction of giving to you. So you are Udar. Just see Krishna's perspective. So here he says, Udara sarva evaite jnani tu atmaiva matam. He says, I consider the jnani just as myself. Why does Krishna say the jnani is myself? Krishna reciprocates with us. So for the jnani, because he's in knowledge, he understands who is Krishna. For the jnani, there is nobody else as important as Krishna. So Krishna reciprocates. Eya yatha mam prapadyante. Krishna says, if you think I am the most important person in your life, I think you are the most important person in my life. This is Krishna. And in the next shloka, he says, बहुनाम जन्मनामंते ज्ञानवान माम प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति स महात्मा सुदुर्लभ. सो हियर दिस वर्ड वासुदेव इज हाईलाइटेड. कृष्णा कुड हैव यूज्ड एनी वर्ड फॉर कृष्णा, माधव केशव एंड सोहन. कृष्णा यूजेस द वर्ड वासुदेव सर्वमिति. व्हाई वासुदेव? वासुदेव इज दैट पर्टिकुलर नेम ऑफ कृष्णा विच मीन्स कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेस. सो भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर एक्सप्लेन्स वॉट डज इट मीन वासुदेव सर्वमिति. वासुदेव सर्वमिति मीन्स ए डिवोटी हु इज इन नॉलेज, हु अंडरस्टैंड्स कृष्णा इज द कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेस, अंडरस्टैंड्स प्लेजर पेन ऑनर डिसऑनर हीट कोल्ड वॉट एवर इज हैपनिंग इन माई लाइफ, द कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेज इज कृष्णा. इट मीन्स it has been sanctioned by Krishna. Why should I get affected by all these things? Let me focus on the real goal of life. And he becomes totally detached from all the conditions, and because he's detached from all conditions, he's now able to focus solely on Krishna consciousness. And that's why Krishna uses Vasudeva Sarvamiti. It means Krishna likes knowledge. Krishna is not anti-knowledge. Sometimes as bhaktas, we feel, no, I should just come and do whatever is necessary. No, doing whatever is necessary also includes getting educated in Krishna consciousness. In our temple, we have this facility of Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education. This is an attempt in that same direction, getting educated in the bhakti scriptures. So what is condemned is an overemphasis of knowledge, not knowledge as a tool to help ourselves advance in bhakti, which is the real way to approach God. In this month especially, in December month, we have this opportunity. On December 13 is Mokshada Ekadashi, Gita Jayanti. That is the day when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to everyone. And by Srila Prabhupada's desire, all around the world, in all ISKCON centers, devotees are trying to share this knowledge of the Gita in a compassionate way with everyone else. So if we don't have the Gita, we should purchase a Gita. We should take that opportunity. If we already have the Gita, this is the month to go deeper into the Gita. Let us make a resolve, at least in this month, anyhow, at least one shloka per day, if not one chapter per day. But please let us, at this moment itself, without delay, make a sankalpa. Right now, make a sankalpa. One shloka per day, two shlokas per day, five shlokas per day, one chapter, whatever it is, as per your level. If you have 5 minutes, one shloka per day. If you have 1 hour, please read one chapter per day. Let us make a resolve at this very moment, in this month. Today is the 1st of December. Yes, let's make a resolve. Gita, I want to go deeper into the Gita. I want to appreciate the Gita. This is Krishna's gift to us. If Krishna wanted to give Gita only to Arjun, he would have whispered in his ear. Arjun was just next to him. But Krishna spoke it. Everyone on the battlefield heard it. Sanjay could hear it by divine help. Vyasdev heard it. And it has been recorded for you and me. Let us appreciate this gift of Krishna. And we should all make a sincere attempt. If we appreciate Gita, definitely we'll receive some kind of a pleasure, we'll receive some kind of a experience. One shloka per day, just imagine, 30 shlokas even if you do, your consciousness will change. By 13th, at least 13 shlokas if you do, let us make a resolve also, as much as possible, I'll stretch a little bit, but I'll share the Bhagavad Gita with my friends, my family members, my relatives, by people who laugh on me, by people who hate me. There in our office sometimes, when we wear a kanti mala, when we wear a tilak, sometimes people have laughed on us. Let us approach those very people. Let's see, my conviction to give him Gita is stronger, or his conviction to reject Gita is stronger. Yes, let us see, let us check it out. Some devotees whom we know, what they did was, they just took a stack of Gitas to their office and put it on the table. And, you know, there's already so much advertising going on. As somebody goes from his home to office, he boards the train, then somebody's there saying, Gita, Gita, Gita. He gets down to the railway station, then there is a table, says, Gita, Gita, Gita. So by the time he reaches office, he's already convinced that he needs a Gita. But he does not have time to stop at the railway station or in that whole crowd to maneuver and ask the person, give me the Gita. But by the time he reaches the office and he sees a bunch of Gitas on the table, he's happy. He says, how did you know my heart? So this devotee told me he has distributed 25 Gitas without speaking a single word. He just kept them on his office table and people would come regularly and say, I want this, I want this, I want this. So even if we are shy people, we should do this. 5 in Hindi, 5 in English, 5 in the local language, whichever you want. Keep them on your office table. Just see how people themselves will come and they'll take it. And they'll ask you, is there something special going on? Even if they have not heard, this is your opportunity to preach. Yes. Generally for preaching we feel shy. No, who will approach a new person and how do I convince him of the Gita? Here is a person who will come to you and ask you, what is the Gita? Why you have kept it here? What easier way to start a career in preaching? Yes? So Gita Jayanti, we want to preach. One time Lord Krishna was talking to his devotees and he asked them, what would you like to become? So some of them said, we want to become a conch. Yes, Shankha. Some of them said, we want to serve in this way, that way. Krishna said, what about becoming my flute? He said, just like the flute has holes, similarly, this body, this we have some points of sense perception, mind, intelligence and ego. He said, the flute is also like that. But when I hold a flute to my mouth, and because the flute is hollow, it allows me to play it. And when I play the hollow flute, wonderful melody comes out of it, which can entrance the whole world. Similarly, he said, if you, my devotees, become egoless, yes, you allow yourselves to be used by me, I can pick you up and I can play the most wonderful melodies through you to benefit the whole world. So this is our chance. We have a wonderful opportunity in this month of December to participate in compassion, become compassionate ourselves and share it with all of our friends and those people whom we know. So with these few thoughts on this topic of compassion, we'll stop here. Thank you all of you. I'm very grateful to all of you for being patient throughout this whole class. And I'm also very grateful to all the authorities who have given me a chance to speak on this wonderful occasion. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada book distribution marathon ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Nandadal Prabhu, for your wonderful class on compassion. And Prabhu had told me in the morning that he had chosen this topic because today is the 1st of December and today we embark on a very special month, the month of December, the month of Srila Prabhupada book marathon. Can you sit for 2 minutes more? We can have a quick announcements and we can go through what are the different events we have planned for the marathon. As you all know, every December in this month, there is this Gita Jayanti which comes, Mokshada Ekadashi, as Prabhuji has already pointed out. So this year it comes on the 13th of December, Friday. And as you all know, every year we have this wonderful Yajna which we do in the courtyard of temple, wherein we ask devotees to come participate and also invite their colleagues, their friends, their relatives, so that they can participate in this yajna, and through this yajna we can do Gita Dan. And this year we have a little different kind of thing, a little added feature for this. Instead of just Gita,